This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It's the WRMJ Sportsline, a tradition that started back in 1979. I'm Jim Taylor. Ty Taylor is alongside. A busy day. We're heading in a couple of different directions. Ty has to get out of here. He'll be at the alma mater, we say, at Augustana College at Carver PE Center. That's where the Mercer County Golden Eagles girls team takes on the Wilton Beavers today. Shot clock there or not for the
shootout? Shot clock, yes. I'm excited. I haven't seen a high school game in person with a shot clock yet. I am in favor of it. I'm excited to see it. The reason I like it is because at the end of games, teams still have to play. You know, you see so much in high school games, like the last 4 minutes. If a team has a lead, they don't really play offense. They just try and kind of, I mean, they do, but it's a modified and it's not very fun to watch. So I like, for the fan perspective, if there's a shot clock, like you saw at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament, like Rockridge, I think, was up three late in the game on Macomb with under a minute, and they weren't getting fouled. They had to, you know, play and try and score, and I think Macomb got a stop and had a chance to tie it but weren't able to. So I just think it makes the game more enjoyable. So we'll see today how it looks at a 10:45 a.m. tip.
Well, I'll rain on your parade just a little bit. So I'm not sold on shot clock yet. Now, I'm not saying I'm completely against it. I say if you look at the totality of the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament, had very little effect.
No, I'm not. I know. I just think the only effect it has really is late in games, is what I think. Because, like, teams don't, I mean, some teams hold the ball for a long time, but it's not really by design. Obviously, if they change it, they'll have to take shots. But I'm just interested to see how it works. And I know it's a ways away from getting the, you know, system in place and everything, and a lot of the small schools would struggle, I think, to find people to run it. So there's issues with it, but I think overall it would make the game better, you know. But I know it's a tough thing to implement at the high school level, so we'll
see. Then I would say, so what would they have done? What game did you do this week where the clock went out at Sherrard? What night was that?
That was Wednesday.
So what happens if they have to play the next day? Because I'm assuming they wouldn't have a shot clock every gym.
The other funny thing about that, so last night we were at Sherrard, and the funny thing that Coach Johnson was telling us was that they have, like, the portable little scoreboards at Sherrard, and they couldn't find them. They were looking all over the place for them. And, like, the irony in all of that was that Sherrard's wrestling program let Orion's wrestling program borrow them. So they were at Orion. Their portable scoreboards were. So Coach Johnson said we were looking around, you know, we were running all over the place, you know, in the second quarter and halftime. We had like five people, staff members, trying to find them. And then someone said, oh, they're in this room. No, they're in this room. And they're like, no, they're in this closet, but there's a padlock. So then they were looking for bolt cutters to cut the padlock so they could get into the door. And then they realized that that they were actually at Orion. So then they had to move gyms. But I talked to them last night. They said now they have those there in case it goes wrong again. But they said that's the first time it's ever happened, and they're hoping, obviously, it doesn't happen again. But that was funny that, you know, in all of that, their scoreboards actually were over at Orion when they needed them, and Orion was playing there. So pretty funny stuff. That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, switching gyms, playing over in that junior high gym, packing the varsity boys crowd in there. It was really interesting. So,
all right, so today on the show, we'll talk about some high school basketball-related issues. We bring in the premier high school basketball resource in Illinois, Aaron Britton. Now, people who follow high school hoops, they know him. He goes as Nesto Hoops on X. and he has the website Nesto Hoops, and he's has a master degree in Excel spreadsheets with basketball teams. But so I think it's the second time we've had him on here. But, you know, it's just really a labor of love for him to cover high school basketball throughout the state and track down all this information. And you kind of, when we play the interview back today, you kind of hear the method of his madness, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah, he's interesting. You know, I've always, it was cool to get to talk to him. We met him last year, obviously. We talked to him on Sportsline, and then we luckily got to hang out with him a little bit at the state tournament last season on the championship day on Saturday. And it's just, I mean, I've always wondered, like, what he looked like, you know, because you don't know. And it's just and just kind of learning about the background of him doing it. And I just can't imagine the sheer, like, hours he puts in. I mean, because, like, just for us locally covering, it's sometimes a real pain to track down, you know, scores and what we, you know, the schools we cover, it's like 15 or 20 when you talk about the track and the Lincoln Trail each night or whatever. But for him, I mean, it's everybody in the state. And he has the rankings and the advanced metrics, too. He has, like, the point differential. He's got the – he ranks the strength of schedule of every team in the state, too.
Well, and you think about what it takes. So you're administering basically the track site. So you're talking about 16, 18 schools or whatever. Yeah. Magnify that times.
Well, I think that's like 13.
Year. But yeah. Magnify that times basically seven more.
Right.
Where you're talking about 800 some odd, or I should say 70 more. You're talking about 800 odd schools that play basketball in Illinois and tracking down that information. And the thing I loved, and you referenced it, we were talking earlier this week, and I know Jeff Parsons used to do it. And by the way, I miss Jeff Parsons in the LTC. That dude was awesome. And we really lost something with him, with the LTC information and tracking that down for all sports. He was a genius at that.
Right.
And I knew when he was leaving, we weren't going to get that. And the LTC lost something by him leaving. I'm just telling the LTC people that listen, he was the greatest promoter of that league. And that league's lost something with him not there anymore. And they need somebody to make a concerted effort to say, hey, I'm gonna do something to promote this conference like he did. That's my testimonial about Jeff Parsons, because you could find the information and standings not only on varsity, but JV sports across the board. And he was always great because my favorite story, you get a text or a call from him like at 11:05 on a Wednesday night. He's like, hey, Jim. And I'm like, yeah. Hey, you ever get a West Central Anawan JV volleyball score from last night? So he did stuff like that. And then so Nesto this week I saw he was looking for three Lincoln Trail Conference scores or whatever.
Like I say in our area, I say, welcome to my world, man. I mean, that's the thing with Coach Parsons leaving. Like, we do the track side of it, and it's easy because everybody in the Three Rivers sends everything, and it's great, but like I always say, some of those like Lincoln Trail scores, it's like you're wandering the Sahara Desert trying to find them. It's like, just send the score. It's not that hard.
I need water.
It's like, and I need water in the West Central Galva boys score. Can you send it? It was 54-52 Galva this week. That was one of the scores he was looking for. And then he was looking for Mercer County, Stark County, which was 57-36. And there was a Knoxville United, which Knoxville won 68-58. I had all three for him.
Yeah, awesome. So, and this is a segue, and we probably can talk another time about, and I've talked to Brian Rusch about this many times, about sharing information. You know, because some fans out there, they get mad if something's not on, and whatever the sport is or whatever the school is. And John Hoshite needs to be a part of this discussion.
He really
first,
would get fired
first
up.
And foremost.
I wish he was in here right
because
now.
Because it's like, well, did your program send the information in? And 9.9 times out of 10, the answer is no, they didn't.
Right.
So we say, circle back, go back and talk to the coach and say, hey, are you sending information out?
Right.
And also, like, all you have to do is delegate one person in your program, say, hey, I'm responsible for sending our stuff out every game, win or lose. Like, is it the who's the person? Is it Mark Ernst? Who's he?
He's the Morrison boys basketball coach.
Oh, okay, and then there's a wrestling coach from a faraway track school that when he sends the results, it's
two paragraphs, like, of
Monmouth Roseville.
I'm like, holy smokes.
And Kiwani's soccer coach does that. He writes, like, a whole press release. It's awesome. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what you got to do for sports, especially more so than ever now,
right,
because of the lack of coverage at a lot of daily newspapers. So if you're a parent of a program or a fan of a program and you're saying, well, I'm not seeing a lot of information about that, first thing you need to say, you need to go to that program and say, hey, are we promoting this program? Are we sending the information out of, you know, results to the various media outlets in the area? I'm not talking about just us.
No, I know, yeah.
So,
well, when you talk about promoting, like, programs and something like, I think Sherrard does that so great in boys basketball, in everything really, but in boys basketball, like specifically talking about basketball, you know, you saw the showcase thing they did this year where they now have over 100 kids in that district playing organized boys basketball. And then I was talking to Coach Johnson on our post game last night, and he was, you know, last season he was saying it was the first time in 12 years that Sherrard finished over 500 in boys basketball. And we talked post game, and he wasn't really thrilled with the way they played last night, but you know, for them to be through 15 games this year and 13-2, I mean, what a turnaround, you know. And they have some really marquee games coming up in the second half. They get another crack at Rock Ridge in a couple weeks. They'll play Beecher and Moline, who's undefeated and ranked. I just think that, you know, a big part of what they do is he does such a great job promoting their program. You know, they are hosting a holiday tournament now. They do all the summer stuff where they go around and get kids involved in the parks and the camps, and it just is, it's great to see. And that's what I think is, when you don't promote like programs or whatever, you don't get the interest. And he has, I mean, they've bought in, they get great crowds, and he's done such a good job. And I know it's been a long process for them to try and turn things back around on the boys side of athletics over there, but they've, you know, they had a great year in baseball last year, football this year, they were so close. And I think in boys basketball last year, they really turned it on. And this year now, you know, they're one of the top teams in the area, and maybe, you know, I think, you know, if they can get a win over Beecher, maybe knocking on the door of a top 10 team in the state. So, kind of to your point, just the promotion level of things, that's what you got to do. You know, it takes effort, and, you know, they kind of have that figured out. So.
Well, I'll say this from my standpoint, I know so I do a 5 a.m. newscast here every day. So when I get in at 4, you know, when I do my sportscast, I want to track down as many as the local scores as possible. Yeah. And I know the one way that I'm always going to get a Rock Ridge score, they tweet every result.
Yep.
Every sport. That night. Every sport. Win or lose.
End
if the Rockets
quarter.
Win or lose, yeah. Every varsity sport, JV sport, junior high sport, every day, they tweet that information out,
yeah,
on their Rock Ridge Athletic page. It seems a simple philosophy, yeah, to do that, but not everybody does.
Well, and that's the thing with them. I know, like, I saw Katie Hassan over Christmas break. She was at everything. Like, she was in Prophetstown, and then I know she was, like, probably at Macomb, and Daphne is at a lot of things. I mean, they have one of their administrators at every game, home or away. Katie Hassan was in Bloomington, you know, December 21st, a Thursday night, when they played Central Catholic. So, I mean, that's what it takes. It takes people who care, and it takes people who,
well,
you know, want to promote
simple.
It. Yeah.
It takes people who want to promote,
right,
their programs. And I know it can be, you know, that's maybe the last thing you want to do sometimes. But again, I just say, just delegate someone to do it within your program to get that information out. And I mean, it's the easiest way to,
right,
promote,
or
your
if
sport.
You don't care, then you don't care, and it's,
yeah,
fine. But you can't get it, you don't get a complaint.
Well, it's like I always tell people, it's like some of the places we go. Now, this isn't local with any of the schools we cover, but when we're on the road, you know, it's like some of these ADs or administrators, you know, the horn sounds and they want you to get out of the school,
yeah,
building.
I know.
Doesn't work that way, buddy. I mean,
no,
you're,
yeah,
an AD.
Right.
That's the way it is. You're gonna wait a little bit.
Or when they turn the scoreboard off like the second after the game,
yeah,
ends, it's,
yeah,
like, what are? It's like no one even knows what the score is.
Well, they
want
to beat the traffic,
yeah,
on whatever rural road they're on. All right, so we have Nesto on the program today. That's Aaron Britton from Nesto Hoops. Also, great to visit with Steve Amy, who was a tremendous multi-sport athlete at Rock Ridge, class of 2000. Of course, played for his late father on the football field when they ran the wingback counter all the time back in those days. And then, of course, I think a three-time state wrestling champ and the head wrestling coach at Princeton in the premier pre-state tournament is the pit, and you'll hear Coach Amy talk about, I forget how many state medalists or state qualifiers and state medalists that are in the field, 35 schools in all in the field, and a guy that does a great job promoting the sport of wrestling, and always great to catch up with Steve Amy. So we'll have him on the program today, and then again, coming up, we've got to get out of here. The 10 o'clock hour is 10:45 broadcast for the Mercer County Girls.
10:45 tip will be on the air around 10:30, I think. Wait, I hope Dave Rath is there.
What time is
10:45
the 10:45
tip off.
All right. In the, yeah, Dave Rath, longtime sports information.
He probably won't be there today.
I bet he will be.
I don't know.
Well, because he's buddies with Jay Hatch, and then he's been covering Allman stuff.
Right. Well, time. I don't know. He's retired.
Well, they need, when there's all kinds of games, they need all the help they can get at those things. And then a good game this afternoon. I think a nice test for the Eagles taking on Sterling Newman Central Catholic. Who I think a team that is always in the mix with Ray Sharp as their coach. Eagles tip off at 3, I think, will be on there around 2:30. That's the candlelight in trip. We make Oyster Rock Falls Sterling a good shootout there, and I like the kind of the setup of the Rock Falls gymnasium. But you were telling me they have a scoring machine at Newman, a kid that's put up over 40 in a couple of games this year.
He scored 45 in the against Orion to end the Warkins tournament, then 40 earlier this week, and then last night he had 45 again against Hall. So he's in their last three games, he scored 45, 40, and 45 all over the span since last Saturday. So
he's George the Iceman Gervin of the track.
Also, before we wrap up and are open here, I wanted to say something. So one of our maybe our favorite listener is Jansen Bender at Sherrard. And he hasn't been able to been to the last couple of games for Sherrard because his son, who's a freshman, Brylan, suffered kind of a nasty leg injury in the JV tournament at the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic. So I just wanted to send him well wishes. I know they had to take him to Iowa City. And it was cool if you saw on Jansen's social media when he was in one of the hospital rooms, Brock Harding and Owen Freeman came and saw Brylan Bender, so it was,
Wow.
It was a great picture, yeah. And so just sending thoughts to him. I know it's tough when you suffer stuff like that, and I think he was off to a great year his freshman season at the JV level for the Tigers. So we're hoping for a quick recovery for Brylan Bender, and we want to see Jansen in the gyms. We miss him in the front row.
Well, and he, if you look at the legacy of this station in terms of high school sports broadcasts, his name is in one of them.
Yeah,
that would be top five. At least maybe top two, maybe top one, when he played for Sherrard back in 2000 in the regional championship win. I know Brian Hutt would say that's the top broadcast of all time.
He was listening. By the way, Coach Hutton was listening to the game against Orion, and he texted me and said that Larry Anderson should make, when Sherrard goes to Orion, they should have to play in their little practice gym on the return game.
What, the summer? That's the summer league gym.
Yep.
And Scott Verstrait can officiate, former Orion head coach. All right. Well, we got to get to our program today. Busy day. We have, again, girls' high school basketball coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Ty will have that. It's the Mercer County Golden Eagles against the Wilton Beavers at Carver PE Center. And then 3 o'clock this afternoon, it is the Mercer County boys making the candlelight in trip to the Rock Falls Sterling area, taking on the Newman Central Catholic Comets. Stick around. We'll hear from Steve Amy, the Princeton wrestling coach, and, of course, a great Rock Ridge Rocket class of 2000. This is WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz. Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner could always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Big wrestling event this weekend. Kind of the biggest invite leading up to state. It's the Pitt, the Princeton Invitational Tournament. We bring in Rockridge grad, class of 2000, Steve Amey. 16th year already as head coach at Princeton. And I guess, Coach, I'll kind of begin with a testimonial. When I talk to a lot of wrestling kids during the regular season, I ask them, what event do you have kind of circled on the schedule, and virtually 9.9 out of 10 always say the Pit. So you say what when you hear something like that?
Heck yeah. I mean, that's what we want to hear.
Yeah, and just tell us a little bit about why this event is so big and why it's been so successful over the years.
It's so big, you know, I just kept adding teams when I got here. I believe it was, there was like 20, 22 teams when I first got here. Now we're up to 35. But I was, you know, the Pit had already had a name for itself being, you know, one of the tougher tournaments in Class A. And what I was looking for is the toughest tournament, individual tournament, to trying to make that thing, you know, a little bit tougher than the state tournament even. So, and so we just kept adding teams, and We're here where we're at.
Yeah, so 35 teams here in 2024. Yep. You know, just kind of give us some of the highlights of what kind of talent, what kind of teams you got coming in.
You know, we got defending state team champs. Coal City's coming. They always bring good guys. I believe we have 137 returning state qualifiers, something like that, and 80 returning state placers. Which makes the field really deep. What I'm excited about is this year, it doesn't, you know, there's not that one hammer that stands out that you know is going to win the weight class. In most of them, you know, we only have three returning state champs. So you've got a lot of state qualifiers, state placers. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of just great matches, you know, starting in probably the quarterfinals, semifinals, and even the place matches.
And then as far as, you know, as you size up some of these brackets, well, when you talk about the sheer, you know, numbers of kids that are in the field that were state qualifiers and state medalists, you say, holy smokes. But yeah. you look at, what are some of the premier brackets you really look at this weekend?
You know, for me, 106, I know it's usually a freshman, sophomore-based weight class. But one through looks like the eighth seed. There's one loss in all of it. You know, the worst record is 17-1.
Oh,
you know, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys with one loss through there, and then you got these undefeated guys in there. So it's, and then 138 is the exact same, but it goes even deeper. You know, the top nine only have up to one loss, and there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 returning state qualifiers in there, couple placers. You know, it's that I'm really looking forward to 138 and 106. But you know, there's a lot of other tough brackets as well.
And then just for you personally, then, you know, I know what wrestling meant to you growing up in Rock Ridge, and what the program was back in those days for you. To kind of serve as the center of the wrestling mecca with this, you know, pre-state tournament that has become so big, how cool is it to be in the center of that?
You know, it's pretty cool. You know, wrestling's always been a really big part of my life, and, you know, our whole family's life. And being able to, you know, run something like this, and, you know, see and talk to all the coaches from around the state that come, and, you know, create relationships with even some of these wrestlers that are coming to this thing. It makes for a lot of fun. And then it makes, you know, like the state tournament or the state series, it makes it fun because you actually have seen these guys and know who they are, you know, and go up and you talk to the coaches after matches or before when you're down in the tunnel. So it really makes for a fun event. And, you know, I'm just happy to be able to be a part of it.
And then, you know, talking about seeding a little bit. So we're recording this interview on Friday. I know it's a 2-day event. So how, when do you seed it? And can you kind of explain how that works a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, all the roster entries they have to be in by 10 o'clock on Wednesday night. So usually they're in earlier than that. This year they were in a little bit earlier. So I printed them all out and my assistant and I, we went, sat down and we seeded the tournament. And basically how we seed it is, you know, we look at a lot of results leading up to this and find out who's beaten who the best we can, because you got teams from everywhere. And then, you know, if they're returning state champ, we're going to give them the one. You know, the returning placer, they're going to be a little higher on the list as well. State qualifiers are higher on the list. And then some of the common sense stuff, you know, we kind of figure out as to, all right, this kid, you know, he's 11-1, but hasn't, you know, seen a whole lot of people. We may move him to a 6 seed instead of a 4, you know, based on, you know, because you got a kid that's 15-1 behind him. Or, you know, he beat him here last year, so, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and move him ahead. So
now how long does it take you then when you talk about 35 teams in the field? How long does it take to seed that thing? That's an event in itself, even before the tournament starts.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it would be, I think it'd be a lot worse if we let all the head coaches come in and, you know, have their say in it. It would take days. Because everybody'd be fighting for their kids in certain spots. It takes us about 2.5-3 hours to get it all done.
That's got to be enjoyable, though, doing that. You know,
it is fun.
Because you're taking a deep dive into wrestling with 35 teams and all those kids you mentioned coming in that are state qualifiers and state medalists.
Yeah, and you know, you get to see, before they get here, you get to see, you know, who they've beaten throughout the year, because it's all in there. And, oh, that was a good match. Let's see when these two are going to match up. So, it's a fun process.
So, when I've been talking to a lot of coaches trying to get a gauge of, are we back to normal post-COVID? So, I ask you as a wrestling coach, where do you think your sport is at right now? Are you in a good place?
We're in a great place. You know, and honestly, wrestling was, I don't think wrestling ever had an issue with COVID. You know, they made us wear masks on the bench. Then we'd go out and we could wrestle without a mask. We could practice without a mask. But as soon as you come sit back on the bench, they'd make you put a mask on. So it made absolutely no sense. But, yeah, I think we're good to go from a wrestling community.
Now, as far as the sport of girls wrestling, I know I think I talked to last year or a couple years ago. You had a few youngsters participating. Are you in a good place with girls wrestling? How many kids you got there? And are you coaching them?
Yeah, we're coaching them as well. We've got 6 out, which is the most we've had. And these girls, they don't, what sucks about it, they don't get as much competition as the boys. We try to get them as many matches as we can, but there's not that many girls events in our area. You got to go to Chicago. You got to go, you know, but they're doing well. You know, the girls events are popping up. You know, like Monday we travel, we'll take the girls over to Geneseo and they're putting a little scramble together where they just match up people around the same weights. So, you know, it's stuff like that that's great for the sport and keeps growing girls wrestling.
How good is your club this year at Princeton?
They're all right. You know, they're real young. You know, we try to force, you know, we got our junior high kids, you know, they're going in the club as well. Our older kids are pretty tough. But, you know, our other kids are pretty young and, you know, they're enjoying it and having fun. So that's, and then learning the basics in the same sense, but that's an important part.
All right. Well, a big weekend of wrestling at Princeton, 35 teams in the field, so many state medalists, so many state qualifiers back. Now, I cannot remember, were you a champ in high school at the Princeton Invitational, or did Rockridge go back then?
Rockridge didn't go then.
So that's one of the few medals. That's one of the few medals Steve Amy doesn't have. A pit medal. All right. Well, you can coach some kids to a title over there. Always great to check. Yeah, always great to check in with Steve Amy. I can't believe it's been since 2000. He was a graduate over there. About 25 years ago. But 16 years as head coach. And, man, what a great event, the Pitt, the Princeton Invitational Tournament. Coach, always great to visit with you. Good luck to your kids this weekend.
Thank you.
Steve Amy, head wrestling coach at Princeton. It's the Pitt this weekend, and you're listening to WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline. Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. I do not know how to refer to our next guest other than high school basketball expert. That's Aaron Britton, Nesto Hoops, NestoHoops.com. Great follow on X. Is that right, high school basketball expert? That's how I want to introduce you, Aaron Britton. Good to have you with us today.
Jim, Ty, how are we?
We're great, man. Thanks for joining us.
So I would never introduce myself as an expert, but if you want to, that's fine.
Well, you've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in following high school hoops in the state of Illinois. Let's kind of give us a 411 on that. How did this all start for you?
I was on the basketball team in high school down in Mounds Meridian. I've always loved basketball. I've just never been very good at it. And I wanted to stay connected to the game, you know, when I got into college. And, you know, the way my mind works is, you know, I have like an addictive personality. You know, when I'm on a task, I want to know things. And then I just kind of slowly over the years got to a point where I was gathering schedules and results for every team in the state. Well, there was not one place that you could already go and find all of that information. So if it was already out there, I would have been like, okay, this is great. But there wasn't. So I was like, I'll just do it myself.
So I guess my question for you is, how do you track everything down? I mean, you have the full schedules of every team in the state on your spreadsheet. You have like every holiday tournament, every Thanksgiving tournament, every like conference tournament, conferences have them, Martin Luther King shootout, stuff like that. How are you able to track it all down?
Well, the team schedules start in the summer, and some of them are out as early as April and May. I usually try to wait till June before I start punching in schedules for the next year, because schedules change. So a lot of times if I have something in there in June and July, by the time the season comes around, there's going to be a couple games that have changed. But there's a couple of schedule service websites that I use, 8 to 18, and then the bigteams.com. You know, those, you could probably find a couple hundred schedules on both of those websites. And then just going to the individual school's website. Some schools have a nice website, and then you go to others and it hasn't been updated in like 6 years. So that, you know, that's a majority of how I get the team schedules. And then for the tournament schedules, I just, usually I would wait, but this year I've been a little more proactive, emailing the coaches, or, you know, as you get more followers, more people are a lot more forthright with information. So that's really the one benefit of getting more followers on Twitter, or X as it's called now.
So, all right, it's one thing getting the schedules. It's a completely another thing to get the scores, and we've seen the decline of basically, you know, those beat writers covering prep sports for a newspaper, and I had a chuckle because I I saw you wanted three Lincoln Trail Conference scores earlier this week, so I'm
welcome,
like,
to our world.
That guy, he's really working, trying, and he's not getting paid doing this, and he's trying to find out three Lincoln Trail Conference schools. But you, I mean, there's a lot of sweat equity in what you do, so it takes some work. You know, you can say, well, I'm doing this, but it to me, it looks like it takes a lot of work to track some of this stuff down.
Yeah, fortunately, I've been doing it long enough that I know where to look. And then, you know, if I don't have a score, I just ask. And then usually there's somebody out there that has it that'll send it. But, you know, it wasn't always that way early on. But when I started this, the newspapers were and the websites were still really good. So that was back in the day. That was where I was able to get a lot of scores. PJ Star had a nice website. The Pantograph, Danville Commercial News, which still has a pretty decent online source. But as those, you know, as the newspapers slowly dwindle away, the Twitter activity is where I'm primarily getting all of my scores.
Well, it's interesting too, because, you know, kind of how this has changed when we talk about, like, journalism, and we think back in the day, maybe in the 70s and 80s and 90s and early 2000s, for expertise for, you know, high school basketball in this state where there's a great heritage and a great pedigree, normally the expert was always from a daily newspaper. That's not the case anymore. It's like social media people who do it, you know, like you do it, where you're not, you know, you're not employed by a daily newspaper per se. This is just something you're doing. How weird has that been for you? When you look back at the history of kind of just covering high school sports and you get to 2023, 2024, and I'm serious when I say this, hey, do you want to talk to somebody about high school basketball in the state? And if the answer is yes, they'll say, well, who should I talk to? And I'll say, Nesto Hoops, Aaron Britton, he knows everything. What about kind of how that's changed? And really, I mean, I'm serious, and I mean this sincerely. You're one of the renowned high school basketball experts in Illinois, and you're a volunteer doing this.
Yeah, it. You know, I don't know how to quantify that into words. You know, it's, I guess, it's a couple different things I'd like to touch on. It's a privilege. You know, I am privileged enough to be able to block out, you know, hours in the early morning on the weekends to get scores. And, you know, when the kids go to sleep, I get back on around 8 or 9 o'clock if I'm not at a ball game and do that. I don't, and the guys, the beat writers that are getting paid to do it, you know, I do feel bad for those guys, 'cause it's their livelihood. And, you know, that's being taken away from them every day. You know, every day somebody's saying, hey, little personal news, I've been let go. You know, it's just like, it's not going to stop. You know, eventually it will get to a point where there's no paid person that's doing this other than maybe Mike O'Brien in the Sun-Times.
So for you, how many games do you get out and see a year? Do you have like maybe an average? One of the things I like, spreadsheet, is, you know, you kind of have like a list of teams you've seen or gyms you've been to. So how do you decide, you know, where you're going to go, and how many games do you normally get out and see in person each year? And how many different teams do you try to get out and see too?
So before kids, I was seeing, I think I had like a 10-year running average where I was seeing about 130 games in person every year. And, you know, I was seeing close to maybe 200 different teams every year. I think my personal record for games is like 187, and that's just varsity boys basketball. Some guys have blown that number out of the water, and they're on a completely different level than I am. There's not very many of those guys. But since I've had kids, you know, I get I get an allowable limit from the misses, you know, and this, it's a limit that I'm perfectly fine with, but it's, so it was like 35 days that I get to watch basketball. So I, you know, I have to be a lot more strategic in the game that I go to or the gym that I go to now, because before it was three or four nights a week, and now it's one or two nights a week. But anymore, I want to see the best game that I can see on a given night. And then if I haven't been to the gym or if there's a great gym that I still haven't been to, I try to target that. And at this point, if it's a great gym, the game probably isn't that great. But that's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make.
So you do rankings too. How long have you done rankings now? Do you remember when it started?
Well, the Nesto Hoops websites came online in December of 2017. So that 17-18 season was the first year that I was putting it out there for everyone. But I've done personal rankings for 1A and 2A going back to probably 2008 or 2009. And I really, you know, I grew up in a small town and I came from a small school. So I'm a small school kid at heart. And that was what captured my fascination as a kid, you know, the old Class A basketball, you know, that was what I like to refer to as, you know, grown man basketball. And you know, as we got into the four class system, things get a little bit of, and I hate to use the phrase watered down, but that's kind of what it's like, but I'm still captivated by all of it. And my team would have been a 1A school had there been four classes in my high school time, but we would have ran into Caro. So it wasn't like we would have, my high school doesn't have the right to say, well, if there were four classes when we were back in my day, we would have been fine. Well, that's just what wasn't the case for us.
You can follow Aaron Britton again, Nesto Hoops, at Nesto Hoops on X. And again, online, the website is nestohoops.com. So I'm just curious, you know, when you do it, so the reason I asked about the rankings, so when you do it for a while, you'll run into some, you know, I'm not going to say backlash, but people will be, man, you got the rankings wrong. Why you rank us this way? Yeah. That you kind of know you've made it when you've reached that point. So do you, I'm assuming you probably get some of that now.
Yeah. Some are in the DMs and then some of them are just, you know, commenting on them. You know, I primarily post them on Twitter. Every now and then I'll put them on Facebook, but that's not every week. Every week or every Monday morning is when I put them out on Twitter. And more times than not, the people that have a problem, you go to their Twitter profile and they have like no followers and they're not following anybody and they just created their Twitter account. So it's like they took it, you know, they took their time to create this account just to complain, which, you know, which I'm very appreciative of because it means that much to them.
So for you, when you like do your rankings, I think it's a top 25 in each four classes. What goes into it each week? Like what quantifies how you say, okay, I'm going to rank, you know, this team number one, this team number two. What are some of the main things you look at when you rank the teams 1 through 25 each week?
Well, a lot of that starts in the preseason. And like that's the most difficult and trying ranking for me to do because I want that to be a depiction of where the team would be at the end of the year. And they're not easy to do. It doesn't matter if you get paid to do it or not. Preseason rankings are difficult, especially when you're talking about teenage kids. But when you get into the season and you start getting some results, you know, a lot of that stuff starts to work itself out and you can try to hang on to some of the preseason stuff that, you know, you can kind of see early on that, man, I just missed on this team. You know, and you can either try to hold on to that and justify some of their losses, or you can just let it go and get somebody else in there. And I try to be, you know, I'm never really concerned with being right. I want to eventually get it right. And that's what I try to do every week is I want to be a little more right each following week. And, you know, like right now I have Manuel at number one and 2A and their record's 8-5. And in those five losses, they have a forfeit loss. in a game that was played and in a game that they won. So, you know, really they're 9-4, but they're, you know, they're from a wins and loss standpoint, they're not the best record in 2A, but I think they're the best team right now in 2A. Because of the schedule that they play, they went 3-1 at the Pontiac Holiday Tournament. Now, if you were to ask yourselves how many 2A teams could go 3-1 at the Pontiac Holiday Tournament, not many, if any, you know. So that's it. So the strength of schedule and then the performance within your strength of schedule is primarily what I'm looking at. And then if I have the chance to see you play, which back in the day I would have seen all these teams probably by now, and now I have to be a little more choosy.
All right, so what do you make? You mentioned Peoria Manual. So let's specifically speak to our area in 2A boys basketball. The Canton sectional is divided into two subsectionals, but within the sectional complex, you have Rock Ridge, who was basically preseason number one by Associated Press, ranked 9th now in the AP rankings. They won the Western Macomb holiday tournament. Also within that sectional complex, the winner of the State Farm Classic, which is El Paso Gridley out of the heart of Illinois Conference. You mentioned Peoria Manual, you're number one. And then, you know, you have teams like Peoria Notre Dame in that sectional complex, also Normal U-High, throw in Eureka. I think Clinton's got a very good ball club in Central Illinois. I saw Chillicothe the IVC play. They're good. Central Catholic out of Bloomington. They beat Rock Ridge down in Bloomington. And then, you know, you can go on, and then you throw in Sherrard having a great season. They're only two losses to ranked teams. So, Nesto, what do you make of that Canton sectional complex?
Well, it's a very diverse sectional, and it's, you know, from a geography standpoint, it's pretty wide. And you go from Rock Ridge down to south of Bloomington to Clinton, that's like 150 miles. You know, and that's, you know, the IHSA every other year, they'll split up some teams, and they'll make everybody question, you know, why did they do that? And sometimes you think if they're just looking for shock value, but this is an extremely tough sectional, and the people within this sectional will say that it's the best in the state, and it would be hard to argue that. I think the Benton sectional is also very good, but this sectional, whoever comes out of it, I mean, whoever wins this sectional will be favored against the Beardstown sectional winner, and that's a Springfield Super Sectional. But there's teams that can play defense. There's teams that can get up and down the floor. The one thing that I'm interested in is that it's hosted by Canton, and I've never been to that gym. So this is already a sectional final that I'm targeting.
All right, great. We'll probably see you there then. Is there any other gym in, like, our area you think, the WRMJ listening area, I guess we can call it, that you think you're going to try to get to this season, or is that too far kind of down the line for you to look at this point?
That may be a little far down. I used to go to Rock Ridge about every year back in the Ethan Happ days when they were in that old West Central, and they'd play those good Illini West teams. I'd like to get to Kewaunee. I've been to Weathersfield, but I've never been to Kewaunee's gym. I went to Aledo way back in the day for a Lincoln Trail Conference tournament. I would still like to get to Almond one day. I don't think I'll be able to swing that this year. You know, I would love to go to every gym in the state, and it's probably going to take me another 3 or 4 decades to actually make that happen. But, you know, I don't have anything planned right now where I could tell you, yes, I'm definitely going here. Other than, as long as the weather holds up, I will be at the Canton sectional final.
Great.
So I was going to ask you a couple of other basketball-related questions. What do you so third year of the state tournament at Champaign, so this is the final year of the contract. Now, the IHSA has indicated, you know, there'd been talk that they're going to change the format of the state final weekend in terms of how they configure the games. Is there something specific you'd like to see? Now, I think they get it right with all four of the state title games played on the same day on that Saturday. I like that setup. I don't know about the third place games, you know, of 1A, 2A having to be played on that Thursday night, which is such a long day. Is there anything you'd like to see with that format?
They could probably just eliminate the third place games. I mean, nobody goes to them other than like the 100 or 200 fans of those teams. The common fan doesn't really want to see those games, especially since they're played so late in the evening. I liked it when you had a small school weekend and a large school weekend, but I can understand why the IHSA moved it all and grouped it into one weekend, because you're only paying the host rights for one weekend instead of two. And it is nice, you know, the basketball experience at Champaign, or the basketball watching experience, and I don't want to use that term experience tongue in cheek, because they don't have that like they did at Peoria.
Yeah.
But it was fine. I went there last year, watched all four title games in a row. It was fine. You know, I don't, there's not a whole lot to do in Champaign like there was in Peoria. You know, you could walk to bars and walk to other establishments, and it all felt like it was right there. And then Champaign, you're kind of, unless you're in the hotel right next to the State Farm Center, you know, you're driving away to somewhere. It wasn't the same. You know, I really loved it at Peoria, and I'm not from Peoria at all, so I have no reason to just have blind allegiance to Peoria.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, and I kind of agree with that after the game about our in-between games. What do you do? I think Peoria was more conducive to that opportunity than Champaign. You know, the other thing, I can't remember. Are you a shot clock guy, yes or no? Because I was, you know, the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament had the shot clock. I don't really think it impacted the games that much. They have the infrastructure to do the shot clock. I don't think the shot clock is going to be a thing next year, because I just don't think the infrastructure is going to be in place at many of these small school locations where they haven't even had a chance to experiment with it. So I don't know when. I know what they say, it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be here, but I just don't know how soon it's going to be here. Have you taken in some games with the shot clock at the high school level then?
Yes, there's some shootouts that have them. And then I was at Pekin Holiday Tournament had it. The State Farm down in Bloomington Normal did not have it. And then the Jack Tosh up in York, they had the shot clock. You know, it was my viewing experience with it was fine. You know, I was never really concerned with how it would be ran or how it would be implemented. I'm just looking at from a necessity standpoint. You know, if everybody that I hear that's, you know, on the bullhorn for the shot clock is, well, it prepares them for the next level. We're like 5% of these kids are going to be playing college basketball, so we're going to overturn the other 95% that are never going to play college basketball. Because, you know, the shot clock's not going to create more college-ready players, because unless they start building more colleges, there's only a limited amount of college players anyway. You know, so it just kind of felt like we were pulling this massive group for the sake of this very small group, you know. And I'm not against a fast-paced game. I'm not against a slow-paced game. I just don't think in high school that it needs to be regulated, or it needs to be gate kept in that fashion, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, I just didn't really notice a significant impact of, and now mind you, it's just one weekend of basketball. I watched that at the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament. There was another thing we talk about, like postseason, and it was in the last, IHSA December board meeting minutes. And it was just under like other items. And it said the board discussed subsectional seeding in girls volleyball and state series seeding in general in all IHSA sports. So what do you think? Do you think that there should be some alterations of how seeding is done with, you know, for example, the basketball format is a subsectional where there's basically just seeding two regionals instead of seeding the whole sectional complex. And I don't know if that's what they're getting at, where they're potentially looking at, hey, let's truly seed a whole sectional complex and divide up the schools that way. Do you think that would be a better opportunity, or do you think the IHSA has it right now with this subsectional format?
I would personally like to see the entire sectional seeded out. But with four classes, you know, to play somebody in your class, now you're going to have to travel a little bit further. So I, from the the school nights and the gas money, staying close and doing the subsectional thing, I can see the thought process behind that. But, you know, wherever you go, you're going to have to travel to play. A lot of these teams, all these super sectionals on a school night, and they're making teams travel 2 and 3 hours just to go to their own super sectional. I don't know if you tried to seat out a whole sectional and asking the coach to do that, like how would they realistically seed, you know, 32 teams in their sectional? You know, there's just so much information there that they would get, you know, the bandwidth would just crash the computer. You know, I mean, because a lot of them don't have a good handle on their own subsectional, let alone adding in another subsectional. But, you know, personally, like I said, I would love to see the sectional seeded out in its entirety. But I would like to see something where the IHSA takes ownership of it, you know, like they do in football, not the exact same process as football, but, you know, some sort of committee where they say, you know, this is where you're seated.
Yeah, and I agree with you on seating the entire sectional for all sports, because it's not an issue for teams that lose, because you're eliminated. If you lose, what does it matter? And if you win, the thrill of continuing a postseason is better. And if it's a true seed, and I think the coaches have the best interest in mind where they're seeding an entire sectional complex, I think they have enough, you know, basically skin in the game to seed 25 to 30 teams, in my opinion. And if you want a true representation of the four best teams getting to the sectional semifinals, that's the best way to do it, in my opinion. Now, I know we've talked to Nesto here a lot. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Ty?
No, I just want to say I agree with you that I think, you know, I see the issue with it, obviously, with the travel and everything, but I think seeding the whole sectional would be exciting because, like you said, it gets, you know, teams further into the postseason, where sometimes those subsectionals you see can be really lopsided, where maybe, you know, five or six teams and one would be a favorite in the other, and obviously only two of those teams will advance to the sectional round. So, yeah, I like the point there. But I just kind of want to ask Nesto as we wrap up with him, where does the love for high school basketball kind of come from, and how does it stay alive with you? Like you say, you do this, you know, basically on your own accord each year. You said you started the website back in, I think, the 2017 season. So how does where does the love come from, you think?
I think it was happenstance, which usually how anything starts. But when I grew up in Pulaski County, which is, you know, touching the Mississippi River, or the Ohio River, one of them. And WPSD would show tape delayed games of Kentucky Wildcat basketball after the 10 o'clock news. And when I was like 8 and 9 years old, I would be like, oh, this is really cool. And then as you play basketball with your friends, you know, you do the whole make believe that you're Tony Delk and all these other players. And that was kind of a springboard for my initial love for basketball. And then go on a team and you get to play and you continue to watch basketball. I mean, I've loved college basketball for a long time. I think it's the best product of basketball that we have to watch. And then just keeping that alive with the Illinois high school stuff. You know, I was always a two class guy, and I still am. And I realized that we're never going back to that, but whatever game we have in this state, I'm going to promote it to the best of my ability. And I don't see that stopping. You know, something, there may be an event that happens where I'm no longer able to do it, you know, if I get sick or something. But I plan on doing this for decades, and I really hope that I have the ability to do that.
So I had to laugh when you said, what player did you say? Tony Delk?
Tony Delk.
So I said, well, if you're talking about an Illinois high school hooper and a Kentucky basketball player, you should have said Jay Scheidler. But that was probably before your time.
It was. I got to meet Jay at Champaign last year.
Great, great story, man. I interviewed him too, and that's the great legacy of, you know, high school basketball in the state that you continue to promote and love. And there's those stories, you know, every year. Even at the low, like I told people, You know, even at the lowest of the low, when we were talking about attendance at Peoria, like I saw the other day, they were talking about Jalen Brunson in the NBA. I'm like, I saw that dude with, you know, basically 2,000 people in downtown Peoria. He had an opportunity to see him up close and personal.
Yep.
You know, great basketball is great basketball, regardless of where it's played. And I just, especially in the Peoria era, I think of so many of the great players I got to see there. And I remember, well, you know, the Shire kid going mano a mano against Derrick Rose, you know, back in the day, seeing that. I mean, it's just like some of those great memories. I have very fond memories of the Peoria experience. But we love getting Nesto on the airwaves. Again, at Nesto Hoops on X, the website nestohoops.com. He's a true student and has a master's degree in Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, weekly rankings every Monday morning, right, for 1 through 4A, 1 through 25.
All right, Nesto, we'll see you hopefully maybe in our area of the state sometime this year. And we always tell people if they want to know about high school basketball, the only expert I know is Aaron Britton and Nesto Hoops. Thanks a lot, sir. Appreciate you coming on with us.
I appreciate the invite. You guys have a good day.
All right, thanks, Nesto. Hopefully we'll see you in Canton in early March.
I'm already looking forward to it.
All right, you're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner can always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo, and we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. We want to say Happy New Year to everyone, and speaking of New Year's, we're still adjusting to some of the rules changes in high school basketball, and Jim, I know that's something you want to talk about with a chance to experience some games with a shot clock and also, some updates on that free throw situation. So what do you have for us this morning?
Well, let's talk about the shot clock. So, again, you can utilize that this year at shootouts and tournaments. In the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament, we covered Rockridge. WMJ covered Rockridge at that venue last week. So they utilized the shot clock. I really didn't notice a significant difference in the final results in terms of the scores. Now, there were a few times where maybe the shot clock was running down and, you know, you let a shot go with, you know, one on the clock or whatever. I don't think I saw basically a shot clock violation. I'm still not sold on it yet for the high school game. I just, you know, 32-minute games, 8-minute quarters, I don't know. I'm still unsure about it. Now, the other thing I think about, I don't think it's coming next year, just because I think it's still going to be an experimental thing, you know, because we're at Western Illinois University college campus. They have the infrastructure. They have the personnel to run it. Now, I've yet to see any small school venues, at least in our coverage area, have the shot clock infrastructure in yet, have the personnel trained to use it. So I'm still unsure when the, you know, they say it's coming, But I can't imagine it's going to be here next year either.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I haven't had a chance. I know Eastland participated in the Chuck Dayton Classic over at DeKalb, and DeKalb High School has a shot clock, so they had that in the tournament. Talking to a few fans, they made note of it, but they didn't really say it impacted the game. I'll be interested to see what Coach Zumdahl says about that. But, yeah, I just don't think it's going to be something that's going to come in overnight, not with the expense and with the, you know, possibility of adding another person to help out. What I'm hearing, I don't know about you, Jim, but what I've been hearing is that so many, you know, places are having trouble getting volunteers, and then suddenly you're going to have one more, you know, job to be filled each and every night.
Yeah, and I don't think that is a volunteer job, in my opinion, because the shot clock is an important job if it becomes, you know, rule here in Illinois, because you have to be on your toes, you know, with resetting that thing on a missed shot. And then, you know, I was unsure of what the rule is on, you know, I know missed shot, it resets to 35 for high school games. And then on a personal foul, it resets to 35. And it's interesting because, you know, Macomb kind of serves as the Suda host, and their coach, he's still kind of an opponent of the shot clock, even though they had it at the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament. I know the Rock Ridge coach, he likes it. I'm not sold on it yet for the high school game. You know, people are going to have to sell me on it a little bit more. Now, the other thing, you know, we're getting accustomed to this year, and I still don't know. I've yet to make a final decision on the new foul rule where you get five team fouls per quarter, and that automatically results in a two-shot foul, no more one-and-ones. But then at the end of each quarter, the fouls reset. And I was telling Brian off the air something I learned last weekend. So if a game goes into overtime, the fouls do not reset. They carry over. So if you're in the bonus, you'll stay in the bonus in overtime. I don't know about that rule, if they need to kind of alter that. And I know, Brian, we were talking off the air a little bit. I do miss the one-and-one a little bit in these high-drama games, right? I think there's something lost with that, and that takes the opportunity maybe to come back a little bit more because if you miss a front end of a, you know, two-shot foul, you get the back end. What about that? What has been your observation with the new team foul rule this year?
Well, I tend to agree with you, Jim. I think I've seen a couple of situations where late in the game, you know, it would have been a one-and-one, and it's a two-shot foul. It kind of changes things. That front end was always so thrilling, especially in a two-point game, you know, or a one-point game. And I think I'm going to have to wait until the postseason to see how this rule kind of impacts that, because regular season is one thing, postseason's another. You tend to have more, you know, closer games and more drama, more intrigue, and I think it's going to change the strategy. I'm not going to say it's good or bad at this point. I just want to kind of see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I would agree with that assessment. And the other thing is, you know, when you just kind of compare and contrast quarters, I was doing a game last week, a bunch of fouls in the third quarter where teams get to the line early, but then in the fourth quarter, in these close games, especially if, you know, you're in the lead, but you don't get to the line when those fouls are committed in the fourth quarter after they reset, I think you're kind of a little bit at a disadvantage. So I saw a third quarter, a bunch of fouls, get to the line, go to the fourth quarter, hardly no fouls, you don't get to the line. So it's interesting, and specifically in those highly competitive games, like you mentioned, Brian, especially postseason, it's really going to be interesting how some of this plays out.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, I don't want to, you know, prematurely judge things because somebody out there thinks this is a good idea, and we'll see if they're correct or incorrect.
Well, he's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage. Auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage. And save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your country financial representative today. In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
That'll do it for the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Our thanks to Aaron Britton, that's Nesto Hoops. Also, Steve Amy, always great to check in with him and Mr. Brian Ruscha, WCCI Radio. High school hoops coming up this morning from Augustana College. The Mercer County girls playing in the Iowa-Illinois shootout against the Wilton Beavers. And then 3 o'clock this afternoon up at Rock Falls, the Mercer County boys taking on the Comets of Newman Central Catholic. For J102 Sports, I'm Jim Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.